The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Man, I guess there was no reason. Yesterday I told you we should panic because the government didn't think that it was part of, you know, essential government to watch for those asteroids that could hit the Earth. Whew, I was so panicked yesterday. And then Armageddon has been avoided. Thank goodness. Peace in our time. Well, for another 3 weeks. Then it could be Armageddon again. We don't know. Cats eating dogs. The Senate voted overwhelmingly yesterday to open the government back up for business. Oh, we've been saved. The great government shutdown of 2018, as it will be remembered by our grandchildren, turned into a little more than a three-day weekend. Apparently, in order to get this done, Republicans promised to immediately proceed to discuss immigration reform and DACA. Sure, the Democrats came out looking like idiots. But look what's now part of the GOP platform. Amnesty. That wasn't the case during the primaries. Just ask Marco Rubio. He'd probably be president right now if that was acceptable to the GOP. Democrats will eventually get their amnesty vote, but not everybody is happy. In the weeks leading up to the showdown that we've just had, who was really upset? The left. The left in their ironclad opposition. Only 16 held strong yesterday, and a civil war is brewing within the Democratic Party. The old guard, led by Schumer, are living now on borrowed time, and anybody who claims to be a Democrat and isn't a Marxist, you're living on borrowed time as well. The days are numbered. You want to know what the future looks like? Here are the loudest voices yesterday in opposition. Bernie Sanders cast his no vote and then proceeded to go on an epic tweet rant. We all know his socialist, not leanings, his socialist positions. But now he's joined by a chorus of new, young up-and-comers. Luis Gutierrez. How do you say his name? Or is
Gutierrez.
Gutierrez. The representative from Illinois. He said, quote, "They caved. They blinked. Because that's what they do." He's not talking about the GOP. He's actually, we're talking about the Democrats. What? The Democratic establishment. He represents the new blood. You're never going to hear in the press the words revolutionary or radical spoken about anybody in the Democratic Party. But that's what they are. In fact, I believe that's why Donald Trump is president. Because a good portion of America is terrified of these radicals and these revolutionaries, these Marxists, these people who now have us counting up to 93 genders. The average American isn't comfortable with that, and that doesn't make them haters. In the late 1980s, he was a member of the Puerto Rican Socialist Party, a Marxist-Leninist group. He's also a member of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. He also is praised by the Democratic Socialists of America. Kamala Harris is the female Obama. That's what they're calling it. She's She's a one-term junior senator from California. She's already being groomed to run for the White House. She also voted against ending the shutdown, harshly criticized Chuck Schumer directly after the vote. Now, Harris is the one who helped create California as a sanctuary state. She advocates free college. She was part of Al Gore's group of attorney generals that looked to prosecute any company that would question climate change. That's pretty extreme. Other notable no votes, Elizabeth Warren, Kirsten Gillibrand. Now, this is your future, Democrats. Radical progressives, overt socialists, and out-and-out Marxists. This is the direction the left is sliding. Now, the GOP's response, because the GOP has its own civil war that some for some reason we now no longer recognize, but we have our own civil war, and that is from the progressive light, the establishment that just does nothing except progressive ideas. And, well, who? Who's left standing for the Constitution? Who's left standing for decency and common sense? Because I tell you, the field is wide open. The first person that steps to the plate who represents decency and common sense, and in today's world, common sense is, okay, maybe there's three genders. That's common sense today. Maybe there's three. An independent candidate who comes and speaks to the American people with common sense has a shot now more than ever before. Somebody who isn't wrapped up in the establishment, but is more like Marco Rubio, will run away with this thing in 2020 or most likely 2024.
It's Tuesday, January 23rd. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
That, of course, is if everything remains stable, which God only knows. There is something that I'm really, really concerned about, and I think you are, too. But we have to provide a united front on this, and we have to start speaking out and making it a torch, or nothing is going to happen. Now, maybe nothing happens anyway, but it is something that we have to talk about, and that is the corruption in our own government when it comes to the FBI and Justice Department, and I mean this on both sides. We have to have some independent study that comes in. And I don't even know how you do this because I believe the government is so corrupt from the inside. There is no way that the FBI lost these tweets or texts. These two people that work for the FBI that are high up, they are texting each other. They're having an illicit affair, and they are part of the Clinton investigation. And they are, one of them is the guy who changed the wording of the charges or the lack of charges on Hillary Clinton that made it so she hadn't done anything illegal. There was wording in there that made it illegal what she did.
Wasn't it? It was grossly negligent initially.
Which is illegal.
And then it was extremely careless.
Careless.
Which is just like, oopsie.
Yep. So the guy who changed that, who got Hillary off the hook, he's having an affair with a woman. And they're texting back and forth. And she's an investigator for the FBI as well. And they're going back and forth. And through this, they talk about how, you know, now it's really important that Hillary is cleared because Trump has won and we're going to need an insurance policy. And we've talked about an insurance policy, you know, in the upper echelons of the FBI. I hope we don't need it. Well, what is that? What is that? Now there's new information about another text that came out. Now, who's in this clip? This is Trey Gowdy and...
Yes, it's Gowdy and Representative Ratcliffe.
Okay, I want you to listen to this carefully, but I do not want you to jump to conclusions. Please listen to my explanation of this. Go ahead.
We learned today about information that in the immediate aftermath of his election, that there may have been a secret society of folks within the Department of Justice and the FBI to include Page and Strzok that would be working against him. I'm not saying that actually happened, but when folks speak in those terms, they need to come forward to explain the context with which they use those terms.
Congressman Gowdy, do you want to expound on the secret society idea?
Sure, I wish I could. I wish I'd been the one who either sent that text or received it. You have this insurance policy in the spring of 2016, and then the day after the election, the day after what they really, really didn't want to have happen, there's a text exchange between these two FBI agents, these two supposed to be objective, fact-centric FBI agents saying, perhaps this is the first meeting of the secret society. So, of course, I'm going to want to know what secret society are you talking about, because you're supposed to be investigating objectively the person who just won the Electoral College. So, yeah, I'm going to want to know.
Okay, so I want to say this. First of all, let's not jump to conclusions that there is a secret society, but let's also not dismiss it. Let's be reasoned, because I contend our republic is at stake. If we do not answer these questions, the republic will not stand. The missing texts between these two cover a time frame. They suddenly disappear starting December 14th, and then they pick up again on May 17th, 2017. Now, these dates are really important, because the time frame between December and May cover the Trump transition period, the Russian collusion investigation, and the appointment of Mueller. So what were these two saying during that time? We know that what they were saying before, insurance policy, secret society. And we were told on Friday that the FBI lost all of this. They don't have it, but they have everything except from December 14th to May 17th. Those are mysteriously missing. Now, let me ask you a question. By law, these were FBI devices. By law, everything is supposed to be maintained and recorded and kept by law. Why is there a gap? Who dropped the ball? Will anybody be held responsible for yet this gap? Let me just take you through. We had people that were colluding against the people of the United States in the IRS. And the IRS just lost all of the email of Lois Lerner. They just lost it. There was no way to find it. Listen, the next one is Hillary Clinton. They just lost all of those emails. There was no way to find it. Then they've lost from December 14th to May 17th, just these texts between these two guys, these two people. They just lost them. There's no way to find it. Can I ask you a question? What happened to the NSA servers? Do you know that the NSA has more servers, more hard drive space than anyone else on the planet? In fact, the NSA has more hard drive space than every company in Silicon Valley combined. Now, I find it hard to believe, because I've never heard Facebook say, oh my gosh, we lost all those posts. I've never gone to Google and they lost all those answers. I've never seen that happen. Is there no backup? The NSA is spying on you and me. They are collecting all of our data. And they say they're not listening to it, but it's saved forever. The National Archives are saving every tweet and every Facebook post for historical purposes in the National Archives. You have FBI devices that by law are supposed to be preserved. Every single tweet, every single text, everything written or spoken on that phone is supposed to be recorded and saved by law. And they've lost them. But just this one time period, it's so unfortunate. Tonight at 5 o'clock, I laid it out this morning for the staff, and I asked them to do the research on it. I'm telling you, this is worse than Watergate. Except it's not the president that's covering this up. It's the system that is covering this up. And I believe that both the Republicans and the Democrats are so dirty. This is exactly like it was with Sandy Berger. Remember when Sandy Berger, right after 9/11, Sandy Berger goes in, you know, to do some research. He's just going to look at some papers of both the Bush administration and the Clinton administration. He's just looking at some stuff for history. And then all of a sudden, those papers are missing. We don't even know what those papers are. But he took them out in his underpants. Then he shredded them and destroyed them. He still has his national security clearance. You and I would be in prison. It's the National Archives of the presidential files from both the Republicans and the Democrats. And he really didn't get into that much trouble, did he? Why? Because they're both dirty. When it comes to foul play, when it comes to Russia, I believe both sides are dirty. However, what I do know just from watching this, I don't know who this gets in the end. But I'm telling you now, the FBI does not work for you at the highest level. It doesn't. It works for the system. The Justice Department is not working for you at this point. It's working for the system. It's covering the tracks of whoever it is that is popular, I guess. I do not believe in these crazy, you know, star chamber conspiracy theorists. I believe there's most likely, in this case, a few people that really believe that Hillary Clinton would have been the best person. These people that just are die-hard political people that want it their way, and they will do anything that they have to do, and they will make any excuse, and they will cover any track. If it means they delete some IRS files, so they delete some IRS files. Nobody's going to really look into it. If it means they, oops, oh my gosh, did I just hit delete on that? I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to hit delete on those text messages. Boy, that's unfortunate. Don't worry about it. Nobody's really going to look into it. Our republic is at stake. And unless we stop playing political games, and unless we start coming together, both Democrat and Republican, and demand that the FBI is fumigated, we demand that the Justice Department is looked at and fumigated. If we don't get real answers, within 5 years, this secret society will be believed by at least 40% of this nation, and your republic will be gone. How prepared are you for an emergency? Well, I talked to two people in Hawaii right after they had the alert. Some were in a hotel and they were pretty freaked out. They had nothing. The other guy I talked to had emergency preparedness, and he was prepared. What did he say? For 60 days, 90 days, something like that. He and his wife had already done anything. So when they got the alert in Hawaii, whether, you know, it turned out to be fake, but they just called each other and said, meet at the house. They were ready to go. And he really didn't have fear in his voice. That's who I want to be. You can count on my Patriot Supply now. They are the experts in self-reliance. Please, the world is on the edge and getting more insane. You could use 102 servings of survival food that last up to 25 years. It's only $99. And the kit ships right to your home. Healthy, flavorful food, variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You will sleep better. And you will not be worried when it comes to an emergency. 800-271-63. 800-271-63. Go there now. Preparewithglenn.com.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. Glenn Beck.
Listen, we are tearing open Uranium One on TV. Episode 2 is tonight. You can watch them on demand. You really need to understand what's happening with the FBI and the investigation. We start with Hillary Clinton all this week, only on my 5 o'clock show on theblaze.com/TV. Subscribe and learn it now.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
You know, I am concerned about this FBI lapse and the, gosh, man, where did we put those texts? I think I left them in my blue suit. Unfortunately, I have so many blue suits, I don't know which one. I'm concerned about this because not only what it may be, but in the absence of answers, nature abhors a vacuum. And when that happens with the information that we do have, for instance, here's what we do have. We have two people that were DOJ, you know, FBI investigators, very high up, having an affair, texting each other, very anti-Trump. Now you put that into a toxic stew where, you know, there are all these Trump haters that just will do anything to get him out. Okay. But there's more. They also talk in their text that they have to do something. One of them is at least viewed or could be viewed as aiding Hillary Clinton in her ability to not be prosecuted for the memos. And then they talk about, holy cow, Donald Trump's going to win. We need an insurance policy, kind of like the one we were talking about in the office the other day. And now the accusation from Congress that one of them said, you know, I guess this is time for the secret society. In a vacuum, without any real answers, that is going to grow into cancer beyond your understanding. And it will eat at the fabric of the republic. It is incumbent upon us to demand answers. And this is happening not just with the FBI. This is happening with Las Vegas. Something is very wrong in Las Vegas. Now, we used to give the government the benefit of the doubt. Okay, maybe it's terrorism. And so they want to keep everything quiet until they find out. But now, because we have no trust, it's starting into conspiracy theories. And it's what makes people like Alex Jones wealthy. Because if you don't know the answer, if no one's giving you the answer, and it's very clearly common sense that something's not right, when somebody comes with an answer, no matter how improbable, if it's the only one there, a lot of people start to buy it.
And you find the one piece of information you have, and it seems like the only possibility. If you walk up to a forest and there's only one path going through it, that's the way you walk. And that is the same thing that happens here with Alex Jones. When there's a situation that is, it's hard to explain. There seems like there's something right. It doesn't seem like you're getting the right information. Someone comes out, says something. There's some available theory. And since it's the only available theory, that's the way you walk. And that's, you know, not the right way to handle information, but it is the way a lot of people do.
And the problem is they are getting worse and worse. If you don't think that Russia will use these theories and propagate their own theories and push them into our society, this is their stated goal, to tear us apart from the inside. It's why we have to come together.
I think that's true. And there is
as people, not necessarily parties, as
no,
people.
No. And I think probably there's only really one way to come together. Only one thing that we can truly unite about.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. And I think we will find that in a new book called The Secret History of the Modern World and the War for the Future. Now, this book, now before I get into the details of this book,
yeah,
I want you to realize that what I'm about to tell you mm-hmm. will be like the moment you first discovered sex. Okay.
Is that in the promotional?
It is in the promotional, yeah. The pitch for this book.
The pitch for this book. Mm-hmm. This will be akin to the...
It will be like the moment you first discovered sex.
Okay. All right.
Or the internet.
Or the internet.
Or, fill in the blank, you know, sex, internet, fill in the blank. The three that go together, sex, internet, and quantum physics.
Quantum yes, physics.
That's the sentence.
Wow, okay.
This is a new book. A 27-page proposal has been leaked. The new book, The Secret History for the Modern World and the War for the Future by Alex Jones.
Ah. Well, so I understand the quantum physics thing because quantum physics doesn't really make sense. So quantum physics can't possibly be true.
Right. This is legitimately in the pitch for the book. The chapters here will uncover it all. They will be like the moment you first discovered sex or the internet or quantum physics. You will never look at your life or your world the same way again. Now, this book, first of all, is being co-written with the guy who wrote The Game. His name is Neil Strauss, I think it is. Yeah, Neil Strauss.
So fiction writer, isn't he?
No, he wrote a book. He went undercover in the pickup artist world. Now, this was a big thing in the mid-2000s. It was like a big bestseller. And what he did is there's this, I guess, kind of secret society, since we're on that kick today, mm-hmm. secret society of people who go around and try to figure out innovative ways to pick up women. And if you remember, this was kind of it came into public consciousness, the term the neg. You remember this?
No, I'm proud to say no to all of this.
Okay. So the neg is like when you go up to a woman and you're in a bar or something, and you try to pick her up. And the way you do that is you give her a little bit of underhanded, like negative comment, so that they will try to later win your approval. Mm. It's kind of like all these weird head games.
Man,
to pick
that dress makes you look fat,
right?
Kind of like that,
or like I bet you looked really good a couple years ago. You know, like all right,
wow, and that works,
and it's treated as you're saying it as a compliment. But of course, she takes it as, wait a minute, does that mean I don't look good now? And that's supposedly going to make her want to win your approval. Mm. Again, it was a very strange thing. It was kind of big in the mid 2000s as a topic.
Yeah, those days never come back.
So the agency that was representing the book is now saying they don't represent the book, which is a problem for your book,
right?
Because now it's public, they are now saying they have nothing to do with it. But
so this is not a new book. This is they're pitching this book to like Simon and Schuster or something like that.
Can you imagine if you're at Simon and Schuster and you get a pitch like this? Because mm-hmm. it goes into saying who doesn't want to read some of the greatest conspiracies of all time and then be shocked by the annotations to find out that they're all true?
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm.
Because there is a conspiracy that no matter who you are, you must admit is true. There is a war for your mind, a war to make you docile, a war to make you a sheep, a war to take away your initiative, your freedom, and your control over your own life. We are still being colonized with foods and drinks that can kill us faster than ever. He says the entertainment machine aims to entertain the masses into complete passivity.
Listen to this. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is how evil works. Some of that is kind of like, okay, well, you know what? We are doing things to the food that I'm not sure about. You know, we are being fed stuff. You know, Facebook, Google, Hollywood.
Sure, there's some truth in here.
Exactly right.
Right, there's elements of truth, however, lots of... And look...
It's the conclusions. See, this is the problem. You say, yeah, you know what, that is kind of a problem. It's then what?
Right.
That's the problem.
Well, I can give you some examples.
Okay.
Because what happens here with Alex Jones, as he writes in his own book proposal, is people misunderstand him because of his, quote, P.T. Barnum way of slapping a great headline on his stories. So the stories aren't unbelievable. But he has a P.T. Barnum way of saying Sandy Hook didn't happen. And that's why, because that's what P.T. Barnum did.
Right.
He was like, oh, those are huge disasters. They did not actually exist.
Yes.
Here is a simple example, though, for dumb people like you, Glenn.
Okay.
People like you who can't understand the brilliance of Alex Jones. He's a dummy. Here's the headline. Mm-hmm. Aliens are living among us.
I can't wait to hear the explanation.
Well, it sounds preposterous, as he writes in his own book proposal.
Really? Sounds preposterous. It does. Yeah, it does.
It sounds wacky, is the next sentence.
Okay, haven't used that word in a very long time, in a serious way, I was six.
It sounds like something from a supermarket tabloid.
Yes, it does.
But here's the logic.
Okay, here's the logic.
Now get ready to get a logic bomb
dropped. This is
going to
be like quantum. Is it going to feel like I'm having sex for the first time?
Yeah. Or quantum physics.
Or quantum physics.
Either you're having quantum physics for the first time or sex for the first time.
How about I'm having sex in several different universes? Is that possible?
It's so interchangeable.
Right.
Sex, internet, quantum physics.
In one universe, I'm having sex. In another one, I'm not.
It's like peanut butter, jelly, bread. Sex, internet, quantum physics. It's so...
Yeah. It's chocolate in my peanut butter. Go ahead.
Here's a simple example. The headline, aliens are living among us. Sounds preposterous. Sounds wacky. Sounds like something from a supermarket tabloid. But here's the logic.
Okay.
One. Scientists have cloned sheep. Fact.
Hold it. Wait.
I mean, I've got you already. Where we're going with
this, obviously. No, I don't, but it's like quantum physics. It's not there, and yet it is there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So we've cloned sheep.
Right. So logic, one.
Okay.
Scientists have cloned sheep.
Yes.
Fact. Again, these are quotes from his book proposal.
Got
two.
It. Yes.
Scientists have created human hybrid pigs. Fact.
Wait.
Don't try to question.
No, I want to know.
He said it's a fact.
Are there pig people or are these pig parts?
They're a pig. Well, scientists have created hybrid human pigs.
Pig.
Fact.
Fact. Okay.
Three.
When do we get to the alien part?
These are not creatures of the natural world. They've been invented by science. They are alien to us. Four.
Wait.
Thus. So good.
I don't know.
Imagine
how we
like an executive at Simon & Schuster going through this.
I don't know exactly how we make tofu, but I think that's alien too.
Fact.
Okay. Tofu is in your refrigerator.
So now we've determined that scientists have cloned sheep. We've determined that scientists have created human hybrid pigs.
Yeah.
We have determined that these are not creatures.
I want to see pictures of them. I really.
Oh, they're
do
all
they
on the
wear
site.
Pants?
They're all on the site.
All right, go ahead.
They have. Porky? Have you ever seen Porky?
Well, I have. I did. I thought that was a cartoon.
No, that's a documentary.
Okay.
These have been invented by science. Okay. They are alien to...
Wow.
For thus...
Yes.
They are aliens. And aliens are living among us.
Okay.
Are you starting to get it yet? Now, I don't say that as stew. I'm reading the book proposal, which contains the sentence, the insulting, talking down to the executive at the book company sentence. Are you starting to get it yet?
No.
Apparently, they said no. In fact, even his own agency is like, no. By the way, he does add, Glenn, that he is open to as many book signings as you'd like him to do, as well as impactful promotional outlets. His time is available. He's there for you. He will do anything you want if you print this book, which he, quote, believes will outlast him. So there you go. Not quite available now, but I'm sure we'll be coming soon to a bookstore near you, if any still exist.
Felt public. Markets are beginning to price for the potential interest rate hike in March, another likely in June, and possibly even a third in December. What is this going to do to the markets? What is this going to do to you and your home? Are you on an adjustable rate? If you're on an adjustable rate, three hikes in the next year is going to change what you pay. Now, this is the reason why it's really important that you look at all of your finances and complete your new home purchase or your mortgage finance sooner rather than later. The lower interest rate that you can lock into right now, the greater your savings. Now is the time to start shopping loan programs and rates, and you can get started by calling the salary-based mortgage consultants at American Financing. With American Financing, you'll get straightforward and effortless mortgage experience at American Financing. 1-800-906-2440. That's 800-906-2440 or online at AmericanFinancing.net. AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing Corporation, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.
Trust is an important thing. It's something that we do a lot more as human beings than I think most people realize. I mean, you drive down the road and there's a little yellow line between a car coming at you at 50 miles an hour, and you're on your side of the road and they're on their side of the road, and we just trust that they'll stay on their side of the road. Their self-interest will do it, whatever it is. We don't die most of the time when we're driving, and this is a positive thing. It's hard, though, to find people you can trust when it comes to really complicated transactions like real estate. I mean, what do you do? You know, you're talking about your biggest investment in your entire life, and you're trusting this to someone because you don't understand what any of those forms mean. I never do. No one does. You don't even, half the people don't even read them. You need someone who can walk you through a big transaction like buying or selling a home and make sure they're people that you can trust, that have been screened, that aren't just some random person you're looking up in the phone book. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com is a company that Glenn actually started because he was trying to sell his house and had some issues. And basically what they do at RealEstateAgentsITrust.com, it's a network of 1,200 agents. And Glenn and his team have gone through and found the best ones in each area. And you go and you put in your address and you put in your area where you are and you find an agent you can trust. It's your biggest investment. You need to take it seriously. Go to RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. It's RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. Give it a shot. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com.
Glenn Beck.
Government shutdown averted. So what did the Democrats get? Even CNN had a hard time keeping a straight face with Debbie Wasserman Schultz yesterday. Listen to this.
What one thing can you point out that the Democrats, that Leader Schumer, what one thing did he get, you know, from Republicans to justify shutting down the government in the first place?
So the one thing I would say that he did get is the potential for momentum. Because if, and I'm certainly hopeful that's what occurs, but if the majority leader, Mr. McConnell, can be taken at his word, and over the next 3 weeks before February 8th, they can negotiate on protecting the Dreamers, on making sure that we can have a full year comprehensive budget that lifts the caps and really makes sure that we can responsibly budget again.
Then maybe we can
be in a position to get the House
up
and the President to come on board.
I'm still hung up, though, and I know Americans are listening, and they heard you say, and it's reverberating, potential for momentum, and they're thinking, potential for momentum, was that really worth shutting the government down for? Potential for something.
Potential for momentum is also known as just being stopped. If something is stopped, it, I guess, has potential for momentum.
Yes, potential for momentum. He could walk again.
Right, exactly. But he's not walking.
He's not walking.
But he could.
No. Stephen Hawking has the potential for momentum.
I also will say, because we're watching the clip, the video on the Blaze TV, if you happen to be watching. I mean, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, she's
a trooper.
She's positively aquatic looking, though. She looks like she's a fish. Does she not? Does she not look like
she's...
Could
you play that video again?
Watch
so
again.
I can just
tell
see
me
the...
she is not aquatic.
What one thing can you point out Leader Schumer, what one thing did he get?
She could swim up to the wall of an aquarium at any time.
To justify shutting down the government?
It's a trap!
So the one thing I would say that he did get...
Yes! That's right! That is the lineage, I think.
It's a trap!
Wow, I actually have a much higher... Because remember, that was a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. I have a much higher opinion of her because she has a great heritage. Yeah. And secondly, obviously Alex Jones was right. There are aliens living among us.
Okay. Saw an amazing movie, an amazing true story about heroes.
Glenn,
they join us
Beck,
next.
Mercury.
Eight shiny new bicycles glistening in the sun on the front lawn of the Turpin family Fort Worth home. That is what a neighbor, Ricky Vineyard, remembers seeing. He remembers seeing the bikes thinking they were perfect gifts for a large family until he noticed that the bikes were still untouched months and months after Christmas. The intended recipients never got to enjoy them. The bikes were still there when David and Louise Turpin foreclosed on their trashed house in Fort Worth. Their ever-growing family left Texas behind and headed west. They were searching, we now know, fame and fortune because Louise, the mom, chose to move to California because she wanted to be closer to Hollywood. Louise was consumed with becoming a reality star. She believed that having 13 kids is certainly going to make her famous. She was convinced they were going to be the next Kate plus eight or 19 kids and counting. She even gave all of the kids names that began with the letter J, just like the last reality star did. When police arrested David and Louise last week in California, they were trying for a 14th child to help their delusional chances of getting a TV show. In a weird twist of fate, Louise and David got their wish. They are now famous, infamous. Every day they can be seen on national television. Every day we gawk at their freak show life. But as we watch the Turpin story of heartbreaking abuse and neglect unfold in front of our eyes, let's remember this reality show is not a reality show, especially for the kids. We're not watching a TV show. This is real life. These monsters imprisoned, starved, and tortured those children. The damage these 13 children endured at the hands of these people, who are supposed to love them, is more shocking and tragic than any show could ever possibly be on television.
It's Tuesday, January 23rd. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
So glad you've joined us today. Last night I saw the movie 12 Strong and can't recommend it highly enough. It is an amazing story of heroism. It is an amazing story of just human will and what Americans can and have done. This is the first movie about our special forces since 1968 and the Green Berets. It is a story that has been classified up until recently, and it is the story of 12 Americans going in for the first battle against Al-Qaeda after 9/11. And the unfolding battle is pretty much 12 against 15,000. And they win. And it is remarkable. The cast, you've probably seen the trailers for it. Chris Hemsworth is in it, and his character is based on the guest that we have today. There's, I believe we have three of it, just two of them.
Three, joining us through the phone, the real heroes. Oh, two now? Okay.
Yep.
Let's see. Who do we have?
We have Bob and Mark.
Oh, great. Retired Major Mark Nooch is with us and retired Chief Warrant Officer Bob Pennington.
So you guys are the guys I really wanted to talk about, so I'm thrilled to have you guys on. Welcome.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us,
Bob. You bet. So let me start with this. Let me start here. Is the battle that we saw on the screen, is that the way it felt to you guys?
Well, there are several initial smaller battles portrayed in this movie. The climactic one that they portray was not quite experienced as the way it's portrayed. Certainly the close air support and the danger close explosions that occurred for several of our Green Beret sergeants at different times as they had to break contact at one point from a Taliban element that was trying to cut off and surround them. Most certainly, I think those explosions and things that happen, definitely going up against the armored vehicles and the tanks. But, you know, we used all the inter-service close air support to strip those off the battlefield.
That was pretty remarkable. By the way, was that Mark that said that?
Yes, this is Mark Nuge. Okay.
Yeah, that was Mark.
Okay.
Yeah, and the follow-up with that, too, Glenn, is also the tenacity of the Northern Alliance, the Afghan militia. I mean, they absolutely, a lot of those pieces that you actually saw in film, that is exactly how they fought.
You know, it's remarkable because you guys go in as 12, and was that true, that you show up not knowing that the militia is going to come?
Yes, we worked closely with the CIA team that was also on this mission. They went in a couple nights ahead of us, started to provide the information in the situation that we were going to be encounter on the ground, and we still didn't quite realize the reality of that was going to be moving by horseback, which started the very first day after we were inserted by helicopter.
And you guys didn't, none of you have experience really on horse. You're not experienced riders.
No.
Yeah.
Actually, Mark had, he was a very good horse rider. The rest of the team had not had any experience, especially myself.
But Mark, you didn't have, is this right? You didn't have any battle experience.
No, we had five Green Berets that were part of that 12, including Bob, that were prior Special Forces combat veterans. I had been with that team for over 2 years and had had about as much training as you could get as a Special Forces officer. Prior to 9/11, we had deployed half a dozen times throughout the Middle East with that team and into Central Asia.
At one point, go ahead. Yep.
Yeah, and Glenn, and the other part to that is that you actually saw is why I asked for Mark to come back to the team, because he actually did. He was pulled off the team to do his staff.
Mm-hmm.
Because most captains do 2 years, and then they are pulled off to do a staff position. And at that time, prior to 9/11, he was actually pulled off. So once 9/11 happened, and then we were notified that we would get a mission, then I went back to the command with some of the NCOs and said, hey, you got to give us our captain back. He knows the standing operating procedures of the detachment. He would be a great asset to us. We would rather not have someone else.
So when in the movie, John from, you know, CIA Military Affairs, he basically lays this out. The CIA had studied an operation like this and thought it would take up to 2 years. You didn't have that. You did it in, what, 21 days?
That initial rural unconventional warfare phase, yes.
Okay.
We did it with the help of our CIA partners, most certainly the help of the Northern Alliance factions that we were able to bring together, three different ethnic factions that were the minorities there in the north, the Uzbeks, the Tajiks, the Hazaras. We raised a militia army of over 3,000 fighters that just my 12-man team was covered down on. They brought in additional assets to augment us. I got our Special Forces team got two of the JTACs, the Joint Terminal Air Controllers, that allowed us to split into four three-man cells and disperse across the battlefield. We also had two more Special Forces teams come in to help us with this expanding army. The ODA 534, that Special Forces team came in to cover down with Commander Atta who had, you know, nearly another 2,000 militia fighters that had agreed to cooperate around his faction as well. And then they brought in a 8-man command and control team that was to assist. And of course, you know, we also had this incredible aerial armada overhead of every manner of inter-service aircraft, U.S. Air Force, Naval and Marine Corps aviators off of aircraft carriers, just phenomenal support from the air crews, getting us the logistical coordination drop in there nearly nightly of lethal and non-lethal aid, as well as the close air support.
I have to tell you, this is what I love about you guys. Everybody I've ever talked to that I think have done remarkable things in the service, they always thank everybody else around them. And the movie shows some of that. I mean, the air support is absolutely mind-boggling on how that works. But the point I really wanted to hear was, you know, they at one point, John says, at least in the movie, you know, I don't know if any of you are going to return. And your character, John or Mark, says, no, we're all going to return. You didn't speak the language. You didn't know the culture. I know the CIA was there, but this had at any time did you think, holy cow, are we in trouble?
Several times, actually. But I think across the board, when Mark spoke those words, he's speaking those words from all the guys. Everyone on that detachment, all 12 guys, had enough confidence to know we were very mature. We were the average age was 32, which was beyond most teams at that time. So it was a very mature team, and we had, like I said, a lot of confidence going in, and we thought that, you know, we could do something. We were going to do something, no matter what it was, whether it was going to be extended 3 to 5 months or even 3 to 5 years. In our mind, we were prepared to stay the long term, no matter what it took to win, to defeat the Taliban.
Bob, I was impressed in the movie about your evacuation, about how, you know, how brave our helicopter men are coming in to rescue you in the middle of all of this. How much we care about the individual soldier is really wonderful. Says just volumes about us. But for the very
I got to tell you though, Glenn. So here's the kicker on that, and you are absolutely right. You hit it right on the head as far as the 160th coming in and pulling wounded soldiers out. But I was never wounded.
Oh,
in
you've
combat
got
like
to
that.
Be kidding me.
No, sir. Not
really?
At all.
That's some Hollywood magic.
That's amazing. Cause you know what? Hollywood I watched magic. That. And for the very first time I actually connected, you know, I've talked to people who are, you know, they've been in horrible situations and they're, I can't leave my team behind. And for the first time I connected when you were kind of looking out the back of the helicopter, I'm like, boy, there's no place he wants to be rather than that. And it was a Hollywood lie.
but I got to tell you, though, that depiction is that way. That depiction is perfect. When I actually slid off the horse, that actually was true. My guys were there for that. Overall, when SF, when Special Forces soldiers go to combat and go to war, that is how we are. They are our brothers. Beside us, they will do anything they can to take care of each and every man in combat or in training.
Last question for you guys: you made good friends with you know the militants that you fought with, and they were really, really amazing. The Afghans that fought beside you were really great. At the end, he kind of gives a speech of, you know, today you'll be our friend, tomorrow you may be our enemy. If you stay, you'll be our enemy. Is there any kind of mixed emotion at all on the people, and these are not some of them, but the people that we have helped and then turned against us?
Well, those that were our allies in 2001 have remained our allies. they are not the ones that have killed American or international soldiers in the last 16 years. They face incredible challenges today. The people of northern Afghanistan that were our initial allies in 2001, the Uzbeks, the Tajiks, the Hazaras, the Taliban and Al-Qaeda had perpetrated a lot of violent crime on them, trying to wipe out entire families and villages. But they have remained our allies. They have tough political challenges that they're trying to be a part of today's solutions, to build a better future for that country. But they warned us early on, do not become portrayed as the invaders.
I will tell you that it must be really, really, I mean, especially you, Mark, to be played by Chris Hemsworth is kind of cool. But the movie must, mean a lot. But the statue in front of the World Trade Center of the horseman had to be humbling.
Absolutely.
Definitely. That some images from our mission and my team working closely with the sculptor to develop that beautiful statue. He did a small bronze there, about 18-inch bronze in, I think, by 2002, that summer he had it out, or that fall.
Wow.
And then who knew that in 2010 it was going to become a life-and-a-half size monument to the entire task force, Dagger, the other special forces teams, those first responders right after those horrible attacks of 9/11, and to honor the military servicemen and women and overlook that hallowed ground of the 9/11 memorial in New York City. It means a lot to a lot of people, and I'm glad we had some small role in that effort.
Remarkable story, really well told, and sincerely, I'm sure everybody in this audience would want to say the same thing. Thank you for your courage and your bravery and all that you have done for us. Thank you very much.
Well, we had some incredible sergeants out there doing some incredible things in a three-man team dispersed across the countryside, working with several hundred militia fighters. It was phenomenal.
God bless.
Hopefully someday we'll be able to talk more about that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Man, it's amazing. The movie's 12 Strong. Chris Hemsworth in it. It's a big budget, really cool.
It's like, really good. I watched
well
it last
done movie.
Night. It's really good. It's really, really good. Unlike some of the others, I mean, there's real violence and there are swear words in it, but some of the movies, become nothing but the F word. And so there's, it's tough, but this is really well done. Really well done. All right. I want to talk to you about Simply Safe, home security company I have worked with since they only had 10 employees. I find that hard to believe. Now they are, the fastest growing security company in the nation, protecting over 2 million Americans. They have just released their brand new home security system. It's an all new Simply Safe. The system has been completely rebuilt and redesigned. The great thing is it's really, really small. It has safeguards now against power outages, down Wi-Fi, cut landlines. They've taken bats and hammers to it, everything in between. This is sturdy. It's redesigned to really be almost invisible. Has very powerful sensors that, you're barely even going to notice them, but neither will the bad guys until the alarm goes off. What's really remarkable is this whole redesign and a whole restructuring of the entire security market is still at the same great price of $15 a month. And there's no contract, so it's faster. It is smaller. It is stronger than anything they've ever built before. Supply is limited. Visit simplysafebeck.com. See this amazing product now. You want to keep your family and your home protected and safe? Simplysafebeck.com. Do it now. Simplysafebeck.com.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
We just had the real guys on from 12 Strong. It's an incredible story, one that has been classified forever. And, you know, the one thing that is truly remarkable is the air support. And they confirmed that that was that's the way it is. That air support, when they're calling in air support now, it is the wrath of God, and so accurate. You know, we need air support, 2 minutes, be there 30 seconds, and it's there, and it's pinpoint. It's really remarkable. If I were fighting against the United States, it would take your breath away. The movie, again, is 12 Strong.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
We are also busy playing politics now. We are missing what is right in front of us, and that is there is corruption in our own government, in the Justice Department, in the FBI. I'm not sure. And I want to make sure that, you know, anybody who works for the FBI that might be listening, I do not question the local people. I don't know how far deep this goes, but there is trouble at the top. And they are covering things, and they are covering for politicians and parties, and I believe both sides. And I believe that there is something rotten to the core when it comes to Russia. People talk about Uranium One and Hillary Clinton and, you know, this deal with Russia and Uranium One, but I don't think people really understand what it even is. It's a very complex story, and it's one of the reasons why it's really not covered on television, because it's complex. And, you know, without a chalkboard, nobody seems to be able to figure out how to tell a story. So this week, and we started last night, we are telling you the story of the corruption of Uranium One, the Russian government, and the connections to the FBI and to the Clintons. Last night, we told you a little bit about uranium and how valuable of a resource it is, how it's used to fuel nuclear power plants, et cetera, et cetera. That was part one last night.
Yeah, and that's kind of the point of this, is that to take you through it, because I think people get a general sense of Uranium One, didn't Clinton do something shady? I don't know all the details, but I wanted to investigate.
Yeah, it's Clinton in bed with in Russia, and they gave away uranium.
Right.
It's so much deeper than that.
Right, you need to have the foundation, and that's kind of how this works. The new series of chalkboards that we're doing on TV. We've done, this is the fourth one, I think, so far, taking a complicated issue and kind of bringing it through. So if you watch all four of these, you're going to know more than 99.9% of Americans about these topics.
And you'll really understand it from start to finish. Not you know, the greatest depth, but you will have all of the basics to really understand what this story is about.
Okay, so we started here kind of explaining, you know, why there's a huge desire, why corruption is possible in this general area, because that's important to understand if you know why people were motivated to do the things they did. Listen.
Uranium is extremely valuable and a vital strategic asset for the United States, not only for nuclear weapons, but for energy needs. Uranium is a key ingredient of the plutonium that we use in nuclear weapons, as, of course, we learned in Back to the Future.
Doc, you don't just walk into a store and buy plutonium.
So, yes, uranium is a little hard to come by still today. Once you dig uranium ore out of the ground, it has to undergo all kinds of complicated scientific processes of pulverizing and then enrichment to get the uranium pellets that are usable as fuel for nuclear power plants. A pellet is about the size of a pencil eraser. So let me just take the eraser off. A uranium pellet, the size of a pencil eraser, produces the same amount of energy as 149 gallons of oil, or 1,780 pounds of coal. In this, that's pretty valuable stuff. The U.S. has 99 nuclear power plants across the country, and that produces 20% of our electricity here in the country. That requires a ton of uranium, literally. So where do we get it? Well, mostly from other countries. Between 80 and 90% of that uranium from year to year comes from another country, and it is huge business. In 2016, the U.S. power companies that own nuclear power plants here in the U.S. bought 51 million pounds. 51 million pounds. That's a lot. And selling at a price of $42 a pound, do the math. I mean, I would do it, but that's what I have the chalkboard for. It's $2.1 billion. $2.1 billion. So that sets the stage. Uranium, vital national resource for both weapons and energy. It's expensive, and power companies here in America buy a heck of a lot of it. Tonight, that was just part of the chalkboard, and if we have time, we'll get into more of it. Is there another piece that you think is really important here?
Yeah, I mean, I think we can go into...
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's talk, because it goes in, that's kind of the basis. Why is there this big pot of money that people are trying to reach their hands into? Here we go into about how the Russians tried to and did succeed buying the largest stake in this uranium company, Uranium One.
One-fifth of all uranium in the world comes from Kazakhstan. Remember his name, because he comes into play later on in this series. But in 2007, a South African mining company called Uranium One bought Eurasia Energy, and it cost them $3.5 billion. So now they're connected. So now, with major mines in Africa, Australia, Kazakhstan under its control, Uranium One expanded into the U.S., buying uranium exploration properties and mines in Arizona, Colorado, Texas, Utah, and Wyoming. Uranium One wanted to become a big uranium supplier to the American market, which I mentioned earlier is insanely lucrative. But in 2009, 2 years after Uranium One bought Eurasia Energy, a new investor arrived on the scene. Rosatom. Rosatom is the Russian government's nuclear energy agency. They bought a 20% interest in Uranium One. So, Rosatom, hang on. It's a government agency, and yet it's for profit? Yeah. It's a socialist or fascistic kind of system over there. It's a government agency, which means Rosatom is under this guy's control. Putin. Now Rosatom has 20%. But by 2010, Uranium One expanded its American holdings enough to own one-fifth at the time of all uranium production capacity in the U.S., one-fifth of everything we take out of the ground. That's when Rosatom upped the ante. It bought the majority stake in Uranium One, which means Moscow, Vladimir Putin, now controls all of this Uranium One and one-fifth of all of the production in the United States.
Sounds like a good idea.
So tonight, there's much more to that, and it's up on demand at theblaze.com/TV. I urge you to watch these chalkboards. This one is a beginning of series of things in Russia and the corruption in our own government. This is why tonight we get into the Russian schemes and how the FBI knew about it and has covered it up for some reason. Now, tonight, we start with a guy named Vadim Makarin. And he is in his Washington, D.C. office, and he is the head of Rosatom's U.S. uranium sales operation. So he's working for Putin and Rosatom. The phone rings in his office, and he is told by an unidentified person that his car alarm is going off downstairs in the parking garage. So Vadim goes down, and his car was silent. But that's when a small group of strangers approach him. And they say, come with us. He does. He goes into an office that he thought was vacant, but it wasn't. Several other strangers are inside. And the walls are covered with photos and charts and maps and a web of connections just like you see in the movies. These strangers were FBI agents. And they had targeted him for several years. And they had all of the connections to Putin and all of the corruption here in the United States. They knew about the corruption. They knew about the connections. They then used him and said, you're going to prison for a very long time unless you help us complete a few pictures. That's where we begin tonight. And this is where you begin to say, wait a minute. If the FBI knew this, why aren't the people involved in jail? Why are we having this conversation? Why is everybody saying that nothing happened here? Because it clearly did. Tonight, you will see the FBI. Tomorrow, you see it go into the federal government and the Clintons. And it is astounding. The story that you're not going to really have explained to you, I don't think any place else, the Chalkboard series this week is on Uranium One and the Russian corruption with the Clintons that you need to understand. And that is only on theblaze.com/TV, the 5 o'clock show. You can watch it at theblaze.com/TV. Subscribe and understand your world. All right. Over the holidays, two researchers decided to look into the Intel chip and see if there was any way they could hack in, and they found a back door. They found a serious flaw or worse in every chip that is used in almost every PC server and smartphone and tablet, and it allows anybody who has one of these chips made in the last decade, it has anybody is able to hack in to your phone or whatever. It can steal all of the data stored in memory, including the passwords and the files. Computers connected to the cloud are especially at risk. Now, there's been some operating system providers that have, you know, released security patches, but until these chips are all replaced by Intel, you're at risk. One in four people have already experienced identity theft, and it is the Russians, and it is big, big business. If you're only monitoring your credit, your identity can be stolen in ways that you can't detect. Your kids, your children's identity. So you have a newborn, you don't even think about your child's identity. Well, they will, because they get a social security card. Does that identity even belong to your child anymore? It may not, and this corruption could go on for years without you even knowing it. LifeLock is there to protect you and to protect your family's identity. If you have a problem, a U.S.-based restoration specialist is going to work to fix it. Now, nobody can prevent identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock uncovers the threats that everybody else seems to miss. Join now and get 10% off with the promo code Beck. That's 1-800-LIFELOCK, or go to LifeLock.com and use the promo code Beck. 1-800-LIFELOCK or LifeLock.com, promo code Beck.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.
Every once in a while, one of those products crosses the line from product name to just the thing that we call the product. It's like, you know, Kleenex, you know, instead of tissues, it just became Kleenex. Everyone called it Kleenex. TiVo was like that. The DVR was just a TiVo for a long time. Now it's DVR. Well, you know, Q-tips are like that. When you think about cleaning your ears, like, it's just Q-tips. That's not necessarily what they're called. That's the brand name. And, you know, you think, okay, well, this is something we all have and we all use, and it's got to be the best way to do it. Well, actually, not at all. It's not even designed to clean your ears. That's not what a Q-tip is supposed to do. Look at the box. They got a bunch of uses for it. They don't say stick one of these way down in the middle of your ear. That's not what they're recommending. WaxRx, they are recommending you use WaxRx to clean yours because that's what it's for. The WaxRx system is the method physicians trust the most, and it's just like the system they use in their offices. The WaxRx system has these wax softening drops that break down ear wax inside the ear. It's not something that people want to talk about, but again, you're doing this at your house, and you want to make sure that it's actually done the right way. Go to usewaxrx.com and order your reusable ear wash system today and use the offer code radio, and they're going to ship it free right to your door. The promo code gets you the free standard shipping. Give it a shot. Use waxrx.com. Promo code radio. It's usewaxrx.com.
Glenn Beck.
Boy, Megyn Kelly dared to take on the beloved icon, Jane Fonda, yesterday, and pretty much eviscerated her. Here she is yesterday, Megyn Kelly.
Now, a word on Jane Fonda, who appears to be fixated on an exchange I had with her months ago on this show. You admit you've had work done, which I think is to your credit, but you look amazing. Why did you say, I read that you said you felt you're not proud to admit that you've had work done. Why not?
We really want to talk about that now?
First, some context. Fonda was on to promote a film about aging. For years, she has spoken openly about her joy in giving a cultural face to older women. Well, the truth is, most older women look nothing like Fonda, who is now 80. And if Fonda really wants to have an honest discussion about older women's cultural face, then her plastic surgery is tough to ignore. Fonda herself knows this. She knows this. And that is why, to her credit, she has discussed her cosmetic surgery pretty much everywhere before coming on our show. Apparently, when she came here, however, again, to promote her film about aging, I was supposed to discern that this subject was suddenly off limits. Look, I gave her the chance to empower other women, young and old, on a subject which she purports to know well, and she rejected it. That's okay. But I have no regrets about that question. Nor am I in the market for a lesson from Jane Fonda on what is and is not appropriate. After all, this is a woman whose name is synonymous with outrage. Look at her treatment of our military during the Vietnam War. Many of our veterans still call her Hanoi Jane, thanks to her radio broadcast, which attempted to shame American troops. She posed on an anti-aircraft gun used to shoot down our American pilots. She called our POWs hypocrites and liars, and referred to their torture as understandable. Even she had to apologize years later for that gun picture, but not for the rest of it. By the way, she still says she is not proud of America. So the moral indignation is a little much. She put her plastic surgery out there. She said she wanted to discuss the plight of older women in America. And honestly, she has no business lecturing anyone on what qualifies as offensive.
Holy cow. Now, that's good. That's good. Coming from somebody that, you know, was on Fox. That's good. She's standing in 30 Rock on NBC. And do you notice the audience applauded? And I can guarantee you that's unlike The View, where they whoop it up, where they make sure that everybody there's. I doubt that there was anybody on the NBC staff that when she said, you know, let's remind you who she is, the audience applauded. I can guarantee you there wasn't an audience wrangler with their hands up in the air going, yes, clap. Everybody clap now. That was extraordinarily brave. She was beaten up by both the right and the left. But Megyn Kelly said the truth yesterday. And once in a while, it would be nice to recognize even people that you don't like or don't agree with as having the balls to say the truth. Especially when they have nothing to gain. And with what's happening with NBC and the Olympics and Megyn Kelly, she's not the most popular in that building. And I doubt that helped her at all.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Truth. Glenn Beck.
RBG, an epic motion picture coming to a theater near you, RBG. Now I want to ask you something. Imagine if Fox News produced a documentary about a current Supreme Court justice, let's say Neil Gorsuch, and they produced this movie and it was called NG. I mean, in some ways, it sounds kind of like the thing that Fox News would do, but they would be slammed by the left as total partisan propaganda, right? No legitimate news organization would ever do something like that, except CNN. Remember CNN, facts first, apples are apples, and all of that stuff? A new documentary is coming out about Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, RBG. It premiered at the Sundance Film Festival on Sunday. Who produced it? CNN. The news network describes Ginsburg as a cultural icon. Okay. Probably true. To some. At the premiere of the notorious RBG, which is the hip nickname for her that her fans gave her, it was introduced by Robert Redford. After a standing ovation for RBG, Zuckerberg came on stage and interviewed Ginsburg. Okay. All right. Bad enough that a Supreme Court justice allows herself to be paraded like a pop star, rubbing elbows with Hollywood and CNN, but then to, you know, turn the interview into the hashtag Me Too movement probably is a step too far. The crowd waited in hushed silence as Ginsburg recalled her own harassment as a student in the 1950s. She told of a chemistry professor who offered to give her a practice test, which she accepted. But when she showed up to take the real test the next day, it was the same practice test he had already given. She said, "I knew exactly what he wanted in return." The crowd waited for the next part of her story, but that was it. No more detail. It's strange to hear a Supreme Court justice sit in front of an audience and convict her former professor of sexual harassment without sharing any additional evidence, but she wanted to try to support the Me Too crowd. Okay. But in doing so, didn't she accidentally illustrate the biggest pitfall of the movement? Convicting people without any kind of fact, just your word? It seems wrong for a judge on the Supreme Court to do. Ginsburg also forgot to acknowledge the hashtag Me Too victims of the man who appointed her to the Supreme Court. You know him, Bill Clinton. This is the problem with the radical progressive agenda. Not even a 25-year veteran of the Supreme Court can keep up with all of the inconsistencies. It gives a whole new meaning to the phrase, "justice is blind."
It's Tuesday, January 23rd. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
There's an incredible story that was in USA Today. Alt-right escalates war against Silicon Valley, pledges to expose bias against conservatives. The alt-right. If you read this story, it talks about Nazi groups. It talks about the Klan. It talks about the website, the Daily Stormer, which is a Nazi website. And then lumped in along with everything else is Prager University. Now, I don't know about you, but I think there's a difference between Dennis Prager and Hitler. One of them might be the whole Jewish thing. The other might be that one is driven by facts. Prager University, if you have not seen a PragerU video, this is something that you need to turn your kids onto. You need to share them. You need to support them in any way you possibly can. Prager University is not a flashpoint. They are facts and fact-driven. It's why you never see them taken apart. You don't see a, you know, Prager University facts are wrong website, because they're fact-driven and not emotionally driven. They are being painted as the alt-right. That just shows that the media has absolutely no idea what the alt-right is Or worse yet, they do and they don't care. We have the CEO of PragerU on with us. You've been on before. Melissa, how are you?
Wonderful. Thank you for having me on.
So, you know, how are things at the office when you read about you and the alt-right and the Nazis all being, you know, one?
You know, I wish it was laughable because it's almost laughable. But, you know, a few things I know you know about me is, first of all, I'm a Jew. Dennis Prager is a Jew.
Whoa.
I was raised in
Israel.
When did
the Nazi party start to let Jews in?
I mean, we couldn't be further away from the alt-right. Basically nothing that we believe in, and the alt-right, the alternative right, which is basically the alternative to the right, the alternative to conservatism, has more in common with the left than with conservatives. We actually have a video on that by Mike Knowles. But this is a typical tactic of the left. They conflate any of the bad guys with conservatives and try to make consumers and the audience assume that because we are the bad guys, it's okay to take us down. As you know, Prager University's videos are completely fact-based. To claim that we have anything in common with the right is typical tactic
alt-right.
To try to undermine our efforts in our lawsuit against YouTube.
So, Marissa, you and I have talked about this privately and on the air before. There is a concerted effort by, I believe, the Big Four, Facebook, Apple, Google. What's the last one? I'm trying to think. The Big Four. Anyway, there is an effort to silence the voices of anyone on the right. I mean, what Facebook is doing now with, you know, hey, tell us what news sources you think are credible. That's going to put places like Breitbart, The Blaze, Daily Wire, it could put us out of business. And they know it. And they know it. How do we survive in this world where Google and Facebook can control so many eyeballs and are using these kinds of tactics to ban people who are really trying to be reasonable, like PragerU?
You know, Glenn, I can't tell you how much I appreciate that you get this, because this is so dangerous. As somebody that works with millennials and runs an organization that specifically is geared toward speaking and educating millennials, this is very, very dangerous. This is exactly why we've taken on this lawsuit, because the public needs to be aware of the fact that these big fours, as you're saying, have an ideological bent, they have an ideological bias, and they're not afraid to do whatever it takes to take conservatives down. And that includes lying about who their content creators are. And, I mean, they hide information from us. This past week, we had another issue with Twitter. It's pretty unbelievable what's happening out there. I'm not sure what can be done, but the public needs to be aware of the fact that they are in control of the biggest communication platforms in the world. And if we don't do something about it, it's going to get real bad real soon.
Well, it's really disturbing. You know, people don't know this, but Facebook runs an algorithm. Not only are they now saying that we're going to choose which news sites are credible and which ones aren't, and we're not going to spread ones that we think are not credible, I can guarantee you there's nothing on the right that is going to be deemed credible to Facebook. Not only are they doing that, and that hasn't even started yet, that is coming very, very soon. They are also changing their algorithm, which is, you know, their right to do, et cetera, et cetera. But I will tell you that not my website, thank God, but one of the conservative websites went from their largest day ever and their largest quarter, just keep growing and growing and growing. In one day, they lost 90% of their traffic because Facebook targeted the algorithm differently. There's no way media companies, especially on the right, that, you know, are not getting big funding, there's no way to survive.
For social media platforms to claim that the reason some of the conservative platforms are not getting as many viewerships, as many views, is because of some sort of algorithm is ridiculous, because at the end of the day, who is writing the algorithms? You can't just say, well, it's the algorithm's fault.
Oh, no.
A human being is behind writing the algorithm.
I agree.
That's the main issue.
They're
writing algorithms that are suppressing our information. We see this. I mean, YouTube has admitted to us in writing. They've sent us an email saying, we review your content and we deem your content inappropriate for a young audience. So they make us look like we're some evil bad guys, and because of that, they can block our content and our information, which is exactly what was done in this USA Today, whoever reported on this is totally irresponsible. To conflate PragerU with the alt-right is basically irresponsible reporting.
And, you know, I have to tell you, the Young Turks, one of the most irresponsible group of people I've ever seen, they got a $20 million funding from people, including Jeffrey Katzenberg. And I can also guarantee you that their YouTube channel is never going to receive anything. They'll always be spread by YouTube. They'll always be spread by Google. And they are indeed radicals. I mean, just look up the definition and the history of the Young Turks, and you kind of know where they're coming from. And yet Dan Rather joined them because they've been normalized.
It's interesting that you bring up Young Turk, because they have done video responses to some of our videos, and you know they get millions of views on the videos that they create, and YouTube has no issue with that. But when PragerU creates videos on opposing views, you know, our videos end up getting demonetized and restricted.
And you know what? I have no problem. If the Young Turks wants to present a opposing opinion to PragerU, more power to them. But it should be on an even playing field, and we should not be having this nonsense back and forth. Algorithms and people that we know through the words of Media Matters themselves that they are inside of YouTube and Google and all of the big four, trying to help them understand what radicalism is on the right. They have absolutely no idea. And by coming after people like PragerU, you are only making the alt-right much stronger. Do you agree with that?
First of all, I agree with it. And secondly, the alt-right is actually not as big as they claim it to be.
Yes.
But they create this hysteria around the alt-right, and then they conflate conservative Christians with the alt-right in order to make us look like, again, like the bad guys, in order to justify their efforts to undermine our efforts. I mean, if you think about it, the alt-right has more, again, they have more in common with the left. They're obsessed with race and identity politics. They reject Christianity. Many of them are actually atheists who reject God. They have a disdain for the individual. They're obsessed with, you know, group identity, and it's as anti-American as a concept as it gets. They have more in common with the left, but they try to make conservatives look like they're the same thing as the alt-right. And it's all under one specific agenda, which is to undermine those who have opposing views to theirs. And they'll do whatever it takes, anything from lying, making up facts that are obviously, you know, lies. I don't know where it's going to end. This is why we need the public to help us. This is why we're suing YouTube. We have a petition. I invite, you know, your audience. I know that many of the people who listen to you have already signed our petition, but there needs to be a public outcry over this.
I cannot urge you strongly enough to get involved. I mean, PragerU is taking on, not YouTube, Google. You don't take on Google with, your hat in your hand. We must band together. This may be one of the more important lawsuits that are fought in our lifetime, because your voice is going to be silenced. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. When Prager University is deemed as radical and something that YouTube really needs to watch over, and they need to make sure they keep it away from kids, we have real issues. When the press starts to compare PragerU with Nazis, we have real issues, and you will lose your voice. And it's happening right now. Where can you go to sign the petition and help?
So if you go to our homepage, PragerU.com, PragerU.com, you'll find an icon. Just click on it. All we're asking for is that you put your email in. We want to show Google and YouTube that there are people out there who are upset about what's happening. And you can help us in whatever way you can. We just want to make the public aware and put some pressure on Google to change their ways.
Marissa, thank you so much. God bless. My best
thank
to Dennis.
You. God bless you.
Bye-bye. Bye. All right. You want to find somebody that's really going to, help you build your business and what you know it can be? You need to find the right person, and you need to use ZipRecruiter. And here's why. I've talked about ZipRecruiter for a long time on how they make your life much easier, especially if you're running a small business. I mean, you know, do you have a big HR department that can, you know, really keep people in the funnel so you know exactly? I mean, you're just fighting for your life, man. You're fighting for your life. So when you are posting a job, you know, ZipRecruiter, one of the first things they do is they post to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. And that can be done in one click. So it saves you a lot of time. Here's what ZipRecruiter does that nobody else does. They go out and they look for the candidates and invite them to apply. So the other hiring sites, you just post and then they hope somebody sees it. This is ZipRecruiter going out and saying, who is out there that is qualified for this that might be interested in this job? That's why 80% of the employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate first day. ZipRecruiter, it is the smartest way to hire. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results right now. Do it. Post your job on ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. Use that address and you'll try it out for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck.
Glenn Beck Mercury. Glenn Beck.
So the 911 call that Rand Paul made after he was attacked has finally been released, at least a portion of it. And I want you to hear because there's two things that stick out to me that are missing in this call. Here it is.
What is your emergency?
I was assaulted by my neighbor, and it's not a life or death thing, but I'd like to have a police car come by.
Where are you? Okay, let me put you through the state police. Stay on the line, okay?
You're going to send somebody?
I got to put you through the state police. Stay on the line, okay?
All right.
Where's your emergency?
I was assaulted by a neighbor, and I'd like the police to come and investigate and talk to the neighbor.
Okay. Where did the assault happen at?
In my yard while I was mowing the grass.
What's your name, sir?
Randall Paul, P-U-L.
Okay, here's two things that are missing. One, I don't know how the guy is standing. I would be calling for the police, but I'd also be, can you also send an ambulance? He has 6 broken ribs. He was severely hurt, and he's not calling for an ambulance. Knowing Rand Paul, he just got into the car, and, you know, his wife, or maybe he even drove himself. The other thing that is missing, which I think is really telling in a good way. What else is missing from there? Did you notice? One word. Senator. Never did he say, I'm a U.S. senator.
Don't you know who I am?
Yes.
None of that.
There was no, I'm an average person. I was mowing my lawn. My neighbor attacked me. What's your name? Randall Paul. Not you may know me as Senator Rand Paul or anything, just a regular citizen.
And he certainly doesn't try to play up the drama of the situation. He said, it's not a life or death thing. I just, you know, want a police officer.
He's
to come
got
by.
6 broken ribs. It's not a life or death thing. You hear my I would be ashamed if I was in that situation.
Please come and help me.
Okay, I mean, that's not...
I heard I am a boo-boo.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to the program, Mr. Pat Gray, who seems to have a bee in his bonnet about something today, and
well,
let's
I think
find
we've,
out what it is.
I think we've arrived at another little crossroad as conservatives.
Have we?
Uh-huh.
There are crossroads
There's
left?
There's a few.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Well, we passed up a lot of them and mm-hmm. took the wrong forks several times.
Yes, okay.
But this time, if Donald Trump cheated on his pregnant wife...
Hang on.
...with a porn star...
If.
...in 2006...
If.
...does it matter?
Yes.
To me, it does.
Yes.
Oh, the answer to me, it does. Clearly is absolutely not.
But to, yes. And I
think. Oh, no, wait. That was a trick question. Does it matter to the American people or does it actually matter?
It matters. It matters. But will it matter to the American people or to conservatives?
It will
I don't
not.
Think it will at all.
No.
And I think evangelicals are already setting that standard,
what
including
do you mean?
Franklin Graham, Tony Perkins. They're all
saying?
Kind of out there on the leading edge. First of all, Franklin Graham said, "We don't even know that he did this."
And
besides, it was 2006. And
okay, stop. Mm-hmm. The first part, we don't. I mean,
we don't know for sure.
She has a lot. She has an enormous amount of his love for sharks.
Yes.
And so she's got a lot of stuff that I think the family would know. You know what I mean? It's one mm-hmm. of those things that if you're in the family, you would go, yep, that's my dad. but we don't know.
No, we don't know. I mean, the only other explanation seemingly would be that she was really good friends with him and they spent a lot of time together. Right, like it's not impossible that you could have a female friend that you spend a lot of time together.
I mean, and who then she among made us up don't have story? Female porn star friends?
It's possible. I mean, it would be unlikely.
I've got like 18 of them that I call from time to time just to hang out with.
Yeah,
that doesn't do anything seedy.
No.
Just we hang out, we talk. I tell her about my likes and dislikes
of sharks. Yeah,
or blowfish.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's a likely explanation. I'm saying that if you read the interview with her and you add in all the other surrounding events. The only I could say many of the things mm-hmm. about you guys that she says about him, like the shows that you like. I could say that Glenn likes, you know, he likes a lot of musicals and he likes to go to the theater.
Well, that's true. That's not. I'm not.
Yeah, and I could say that Pat's a guy. I could separate you
like guy things.
Guy things.
Right.
Like
wait a
rock
minute.
And yeah. sports.
Right.
You know what I mean? And Glenn likes, you know, musicals.
Barry Manilow and musicals. And
right. Wait a minute. Like, so. But again, how did this turn against me all of a sudden?
But like if a porn star came out and said, yeah, well, he likes to hang around. He's always watching Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Like it would be like, wow, okay, he really does like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Now,
maybe they were together.
First of all, it's completely unbelievable because no porn star would ever hang out with me.
That's true.
It's not the other way around. They wouldn't hang out with me.
That's fair.
Yes.
Very fair.
That is the one fly in that ointment.
It is.
Yes, it is. So. Okay, so how are we going to know at this point? We have crossed the Rubicon on truth.
Well, there's going to be a payoff trail, right? We're going to find out whether the $130,000 payoff happened.
The Wall Street Journal reported that
can't
it
be
did.
Tough. And the Wall Street Journal reports it did.
Yeah.
And when asked about it, Matt Schlapp on CNN with Allison Camerota just kept saying, well, you're going to believe In Touch magazine? No, I'm believing the Wall Street Journal. That's a little different than In Touch.
Right. Jerry now, water on this stuff. So wait a minute. So did Franklin Graham, he said, we don't know yet. We don't know yet. That's a fine
but
statement.
That's okay. Yes. And he also said it was 10 years ago. He's not the same guy.
I don't know about that. The guy who campaigned saying, I've never asked for forgiveness.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's not just, you know, I didn't just make it with a porn star. The allegation is I made it with a porn star while my wife was pregnant.
Or right after birth, wasn't it?
Right after
the birth of Barry.
I mean, holy cow. Man. However, let's be honest. Does anybody believe that that's a, you know, fairy tale love story? Does anybody believe
I mean, even her description of it isn't a fairy tale love story?
You mean Trump and Melania?
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I don't know, but you just had a baby with her, so yeah. You've got something going there in your marriage. She's now the first lady. It's lasted for 11 years.
During the campaign, we actually found a clip of this show back in 2004, 2005, and we were talking about Donald Trump, and it was Trump discussing his recent marriage to Melania. So whatever year that was.
I remember this.
You remember this?
I remember this.
And Trump said about Melania that at some point in the future,
she'll divorce me.
We will be divorced. Uh-huh. And that's why I made sure I got a prenup, because this probably won't last.
And in his own words,
in
his own words, he has written that this was shocking to me. Imagine saying this to your wife, letting your wife hear this, let alone say this. You put it in print that he was thinking as he was walking down the aisle, what the hell am I doing? I'm already bored with this. Those are his words about his relationship.
Right. And I think you can fairly say that he's, he's gone from reality star to president of the United States in that time. I mean, he may very well have a completely different opinion of his relationship now.
Mm-hmm.
He very well, I'm sure at this point, I mean, if you're president of the United States and you're still trying to have affairs, we've seen how that turns out for presidents, not too well. I don't think he's still doing it.
I can't imagine. Could you? No. I mean, that one, oh my gosh, I can't imagine that's happening.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I don't think so.
But that's the point, I guess, is that, I don't think anybody believes he's still doing this.
But, this isn't even about Trump, really. I think it's about us. It's about what we accept now, what we sweep under the rug now, what we don't care about anymore. When we cared very deeply about it in the 90s. Very deeply.
I still do.
And I do, too. And if we don't take stock of that and say, hey, what has happened to us? That we don't care about any of the character matters anymore.
Well, we have no right to talk about character on the other side.
At all.
We have no right to do it now.
Uh-uh.
We can't talk about somebody as too outrageous, somebody is a bomb thrower, somebody is sleazy, somebody has, we don't know what their business dealings are. We completely lost
any moral high ground.
We have zero moral high ground now.
Yeah.
Zero.
And that's...
That's not good.
That's the sad part.
Because what is the high ground now? What is the high ground? Is there even high ground?
Yeah. Do you have a guy that defends you? That's the high ground now. If he defends you, then everything he does is fine. And literally, everything he does is fine.
And that is the way it has been on the left
forever.
While.
Yeah.
And
for as long as I can remember.
We've always hated it.
Right.
But we've decided to surrender and say, you know what? If you can't beat him, join him. And we're going to play the same game. Mm-hmm. Now, with that being said, yesterday, I mean, this thing with, did you see the Scotty vest thing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
What is that?
The guy advertised on The Blaze.
I know.
Okay. So, I mean, here's a guy who, cozies up and is selling to a group of people that he hates.
Yeah.
And he feels comfortable enough to say, I'm bilking all of these stupid people. Half of the country, perhaps more. He feels comfortable with that. And nobody in the press has a problem with it. Nobody else has a problem with it except, the center of the country. It really just hit me like a bag of bricks this weekend. This is why Donald Trump is president. Because he chose you.
Yeah.
He chose you.
Yeah.
When nobody else would choose you, he chose you. And he said, I'll be your defender. And we are so tired as Christians of being called, terrorists. We're so tired as conservatives be called
haters,
racists. And racists and everything else. And no one would ever defend us. And when they do, they're always destroyed by the machine.
And they couldn't destroy Trump.
Right. And that is the sole reason, I believe, that he is president of the United States. And if the right, if the left doesn't wake up soon, the right will find somebody else. And you know what? If we don't wake up to what we're accepting on things, the left will find a monster. I mean, we are headed down the wrong road. We have to remember that there is something about trying to reach up, and be better than we were yesterday or the day before.
Pat Gray Unleashed on the Blaze Radio and TV Network. You can go and subscribe to the podcast and watch every day from, what is it, noon to 3 Eastern. You should do that and stuff. Mm.
Volatility in the stock market. Wild swings in Bitcoin. The constant turmoil in Washington. I'm reading a lot now about how gold is going to have a surge, a lot of people believe, this year. That would be great if it happened, but I, you know, Bitcoin, I watch every single, I'm like, how much is it now? With gold, I don't. And I have invested in gold for a long time, but that is not why I have it. I don't buy it for, oh, I hope it goes up. I actually, in a way, this is horrible. Gold is up almost $100 since mid-December. That is a lot. I kind of don't want it to go up because when it goes up, it means people are freaking out. There's some bad things that, you know, smart people think are happening. Gold is a safe haven, and it has been for centuries, and it performs well in times of volatility. And something is going on when gold is rising, you know, $100 in a month. And I am hearing and reading a lot from people saying it's going to be a good run. Why? I thought everything was fine. Goldline is under new ownership with better pricing, but the same great service. I want you to go check out what they have available now. Read their important risk information at 866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE, or goldline.com. Find out if gold or silver is right for you. The only people I trust, Goldline. 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
You know, it's interesting to me how in today's society we have to buy all of it or none of it. You know what I mean? For instance, I am thrilled today about Mike Pence and what Donald Trump has done with Jerusalem. Mike Pence, do we have the audio from Jerusalem? Here's Mike Pence.
In the weeks ahead, our administration will advance its plan to open the United States Embassy in Jerusalem. And that United States Embassy will open before the end of next year.
That is,
it was the faith of the
stop.
Jewish
that
people.
Is the, that is amazing. That is amazing and really good. And there's a lot of policies that I agree with. But, you know, it's interesting to me that no one feels comfortable to say, I think behavior, this behavior or that behavior, is reprehensible. But I agree with his policies and I support him on these policies. But I think this behavior is reprehensible. Why can't we do that? Why can't we even talk about, hey, we never believed in a lot of these things. For instance, amnesty. We never believed in amnesty. We torpedoed everybody that was ever even for what I believe is logical. Secure the border first, and then we can talk about amnesty. You weren't real popular if you said that. You were immediately part of the Gang of Eight. No, that's not right. But now we've accepted amnesty. We're actually on the side of championing amnesty. And we haven't even discussed it. And you can't discuss it. Because if you do, you're just against Donald Trump. Or you're just against the GOP. Or you're just... No, can we have a discussion here? Yeah. How did this happen?
The temptation to simplify everything into these little battles. I mean, as Pat kind of pointed out before, hey, this isn't really about Donald Trump. I mean, you know, like... we try to make everything about this guy. I mean, you know, he's
it's
just
about
like,
us.
He's just
all
a man,
of this is right? about us.
Right. And I think it's important to look at how else do you self-examination is hard, right? A lot of people don't like to do it. Some people have never done it. You know, and it's one of those things that it's difficult to do. It's one of the most difficult things to do. So when you, it's important when you go through changes to kind of look at your, the map of your life and the things you've believed, and at least mark when you're passing it, certain exits. It's not to say that there's no rational thought behind blowing off an affair with a porn star, right? The left made all of these relatively rational points during Clinton, right? It's his personal life, not his private life. It happened a long time ago. Everyone has faults. We should forgive people. These are all rational points. It's just that we didn't believe any of them a few years ago, and now we all do. And if we're going to all believe them, we should at least note to ourselves that we're passing these exits and giving these standards up, because that's how you examine where you're moving.
Because here's the problem. We don't, because we are in attack. We are in defense mode. We are under attack. The right is under attack. We just talked about this with Prager University. I mean, under attack. And so you look at any kind of questioning or doubt and you're like, we don't have time for this. We don't, you see, we're under attack. Don't you see? Yeah, I do. But we have to notice that the country has never been about a president. We made it about Barack Obama. And the one thing I learned about afterwards with Barack Obama is the country survived. But how did we change because of that? Because of their behavior on the left, our behavior on the right, we fundamentally changed in those 8 years. And we're still not willing to talk about, at least the left isn't, the things they accepted to happen to the Constitution and to liberties, freedom of speech alone with the press. They would never have stood for that. And yet they did. And it makes them so you don't believe a word they say, because you're like, look, what are you talking about? You're not for freedom of press. You weren't then. Why are you now? We have to have these logical conversations, because the country is bigger than any president. We have to chart the course for the future.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.